I would like once again to read certain verses that we have taken up this morning with the intention of not to be repetitive of what was said, but somehow to bring further applications to help us in our theme to be overcomers. There's no question that the Word of God is written for us in a good way sometimes of victory, so that we can learn how to have victory in Christ and enjoy it. But also sometimes they are applications of warning, so that the saints of God, the young believer, might take a word of warning from the Lord to understand that there is no question that when you and I will play with the fire, there is the possibility of getting burnt. Not the possibility, it's a sure thing. So I just want to read some verses, present before you what is God's intention for us today, what He has for us in the book of Judges, and bring further application somehow to help us along with that theme of victory. And I would like to turn again to Judges chapter 3 and read the portion that was read in the morning, and read another couple of verses from elsewhere just to support what will be said through the Word of God. And from verse 5 of Judges chapter 3, "And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites, and took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their God, their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forget the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the wrath, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and sold them to the hand of Gershon Rithathaim, king of Mesopotamia. The children of Israel served the name that I have said, 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord rose a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel." Just to move further, in verse 16, "And Ehud made a dagger which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh." 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to read two more verses. 2 Kings chapter 4. And there is the last part of verse 13. The last part of verse 13. "And she said," and that's talking to the prophet, "I dwell among my own people. I dwell among my own people." And the last reading from the book of Ruth, and it's chapter 1. "And Ruth said, entreat me," verse 16, I'm sorry. "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest or dwellest, I will dwell. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." I was so delighted this morning to hear the brethren helping us along of the thought of dwelling. And I want to touch a little bit on that thought of dwelling. And as you could tell, that the verses that I read from 2 Kings chapter 4 and also from Ruth has the thought of that dwelling. But before I do so, there are three things that came before chapter 3. That God have every intention that you and I take hold of that truth. And I would like you to follow me just for 2 minutes to bring three things before you that God has set in mind before the people start doing that which is evil, that God has every intention to make his own people go through these three features, three aspects, before they start doing evil. The first one is in chapter 2 and verse 22, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way. Keep the way. There is a way of Christianity, you know. It is not like everything is wide open and any way you saw fit, we do things. And that way, as far as Christians are concerned, it is a way of separation. We have discussed it this morning. That there need to be a desire in my own soul that if there is a determination that I'm going to live as Christian for Christ and discern, one of the most important requirements that I'll be willing to live a life of separation. Separation, sometimes we are exhausted with that subject because we always think it's something negative. It is like from, you cannot do, separate from this and separate from that and separate from the other thing. And right away it might give us that taste that is always separating from things that are exciting for me. God will never ask us to separate from something if he doesn't give us something better. Because the truth of separation, young man, young sister, it is not that I'm separating from the things of this world, but I'm also being separated unto God. This is, we talked about the king of Mesopotamia. The God of glory has appeared unto Abraham. When he told him that you should leave your kindred, your family, your father's house, he doesn't tell him just to leave and doesn't give him something better. It was the God of glory appearing to him. What Abraham saw in that vision of the God of glory gave him the desire to leave and to separate from all the idols, from all what his country spoke of, to follow after the real God, Jehovah. No wonder that Abraham, because of a path of separation, Abraham was a man who was willing to give up everything for God. And if you don't believe that, you read on every test that came upon Abraham. It wasn't only a test of separation, but it also was a test of giving. Even whom thou lovest, Isaac. Abraham was willing to take the object of his affections and offer it upon the altar because God was real to him. It wasn't something that he learned about him. It wasn't something that you come, you know, year after year, or you might attend your local meetings, meeting after meeting. And it wasn't like I'm sitting and the brethren are talking about things. God was real to Abraham. And because he saw the God of glory, and because he had such an intimate relationship, that the scripture have desired to call Abraham the friend of God. But he was willing to give everything to God. He lived a path of separation. And sometimes the path of separation is not only from all the things of the world. It is sad to say that sometimes there might be a young brother, a young sister, or somebody you grew up in the meeting. But all what they do is hinder your spiritual living. They want to take you to places that is really hindering you from following after Christ. And I'm going to tell you, this man Abraham, that desired to live a separated life unto God, he didn't separate from this country Mesopotamia, the country of idols. But it took one time to understand that perhaps my lot, perhaps my nephew is going to be a hindrance for me. And he had to separate from him as well. If you went to the right, I will go to the left. Dear young brother, young sister, listen, the truth of separation is not a negative truth. Because God has given us something better. God has given us something that is more glorious than all what the world could offer. So that's the first thing, that God has every intention that his people will keep the way. And in order for you and for me, because listen, if God by his own sovereign calling would say that, you know, you have some older brothers with you today. Maybe 6, 7 of us today here. But if in his own sovereign way he said, I'm going to call these men to glory. And he could, you know. He could call any one of us at any given moment. There is no time sheet when God is going to take me and when God is going to take you. But there will be those among yourselves that have attended Spruce Lake year after year that will keep the way. God is looking for those that will preserve things, that will keep things. No wonder the Apostle Paul, when he was talking to a young man, he says, keep the things which you have heard. Keep them. Preserve them. Even with your own life, you preserve things. God is the preserver of all men, especially the household. He desired to preserve things. And young men, listen. Let's become serious, dear sisters. Let's become serious in the things of Christ. Let us be those that are living a separated life with the desire to keep the way, to maintain the path of separation, and to maintain the truth as it is seen in the scripture. Keep the way, a path of separation.